You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
March the 26th of 2025. Currently, a lot of sunshine again this morning. As I look out, again, lots of blue skies. The sun is shining, but still a lot of snow out there. Temperature of 21 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a few minutes, when is it going to warm up? When is the snow going to melt away? When will those spring high school sports get underway? Because it's all about me, okay? No, but we're getting towards the end of March, heading towards April, but we still have that snow out there. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot coming up in about 14 minutes or so at 8:21. In the second hour of the program, we will be joined by Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater in Wausau. I mean, it's so fast. It feels like they just started their season and they've just been going through it and getting great crowds and really packing them in all year long. And now we're getting towards spring and the end of their season. And then they'll be starting a new season, the circle of life that we talk about. But we'll find out what's happening at the Grand with Sean Wright coming up early on in hour number two. And then we'll wrap things up in the second hour talking to Ian Welsh as part of our daily history lesson. And we always wrap it up with the number for the day quiz. And Ian's got some work to do today. 0-for-2 so far this week.
Mm-hmm. So, slump.
I know. It's, you know, we have to send him to the minors here pretty soon if he doesn't start picking it up.
How does Nashville sound this time of year? Not bad.
Not bad. Is that exactly right?
Got to make a comeback.
But how are you doing today, Ian?
Doing pretty good. I'm ready to focus up and get the number right today.
Absolutely. So we'll look forward to that. And of course, you hear the voice that joins us every other Wednesday for the first hour of the show. Very happy to welcome back Bob Look.
Well, good morning, everybody. And again, hey, all that Ian has to do is get one hit, one right today, and he's batting .333
there
for the season.
We aren't asking a lot.
I'm getting a lot of baseball references here. You can tell I'm getting geared up for tomorrow.
So. Do you remember, I know you remember, this time of year when Wausau had the Class A team, Mets and the Timbers, and this time of year was always hold your breath time because, boy, you lose those dates and it makes it very hard to be successful. And, boy, that was hard in those eras, in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to convince the stations that I was working for at the time to do some selected Wausau Timber games. The second to last year and their last year, not all of them, right. But just, you know, work a little deal out with the Timber folks. And they, of course, Timbers thought, well, this is great. Saw somebody coming out here. But we did, you know, select home games. Basically, I looked at the Brewers' schedule, and I always tried to schedule the games where the Brewers were off.
Right.
So there wouldn't be a conflict. Or the start of a long homestand when they have a lot of promotions to promote. Uh-huh. You know, like coming up Saturday, it's kite night here at the ballpark. All, you know, it was basically just, it was an infomercial as a baseball game. And I was actually the only broadcaster, live broadcaster, to broadcast the last game of the Timbers, you know, when they shut down the lights and, you know, finished and the team moved to Kane County.
That's right.
Illinois. So Yeah, there's some fond memories with that.
But it does was hard this time of year. More often than not, there was still snow on the ground on opening night.
The first year we were doing the games, because they were the Seattle Mariners team, Class A affiliate, and we were playing series, so we had a game scheduled, and they had snow in the foul territory. You know, they cleaned it off of the regular, but the umpires were, you know, say, well, if a ball gets hit into, that's an automatic, you know, double or two base. And they had ground rules for hitting a ball into a pile of snow. Where else do you hear that?
I've seen that actually in the high school ranks, because nowadays down in the southern part of the state near the Dells and near, you know, that they have this complex with all baseball diamonds and softball diamonds with all artificial turf.
Oh, okay.
So basically, if there could still be snow out there, but they just get out the vehicle out there, move it off onto the side. You'll see a little bit of snow still on the side, but if they're able to get these games in, because this time of year, these schools, they will have to pay to go down there and play, and that complex makes a lot of money. I tell you that much.
That just reminds me of just this past weekend, I was texting back and forth with a friend of mine in the business, Mario Mpemba, who was doing, I hired him as a sports director down in Peoria, Illinois, and he was doing the Peoria Rivermen hockey, but also Peoria Chiefs baseball, because he really loved baseball. This is what he wanted to do. And the first series they had was up in Appleton back in 1987, I believe, 88, I think it was the start of the season. And they were snowed out, cold out, and everything. And they're frantically trying to get these games. So they make a doubleheader in the middle of a weekday. So here's poor old Mario Mpemba doing the radio broadcast, and he breaks for commercial after the opening, and we're chit-chatting back and forth. He goes, "Bob, there's nobody here except the players and me." And I just went, "Mario, the listeners don't know that." You know, I says, you just do, you know, and we he did a heck of a job. And he ended up being in the majors and the California Angel games, and then to Detroit, his hometown, and he did for over 20 years, the television stuff. So, you know, the listeners don't care.
No, especially radio.
Yeah.
You are the eyes.
You do it. And, of course, the players were making enough noise on the field because they kind of realized, boy, if we don't make noise, there's no noise at all. So the players, you know, kind of like, we're more, you know, more rah-rah than the normal.
It reminds me, again, we'll get to serious stuff here in a moment, but there's an old episode of MASH that the storyline was that they would replay Major League Baseball games on the Armed Forces Radio Network,
right.
And Frank Burns found out what the results were before they aired, so he started making these bets and started making the money, and then Hawkeye found out about this, and then he made up his own recreation of the game.
I remember that
looked like fun to me, to make a recreation, get the information, you know, basically, because you mean you heard the stories of like Ronald Reagan back in the day when he first started as a baseball announcer. You would get on the wire what happened,
sure.
And then you would put everything around it.
You talk about, oh, what a beautiful day, beautiful blue sky here today, the sun is shining bright, really comfortable, it's ball one, the count to Joe Smith. I'll tell you what, we're looking forward to this weekend when and he just learned to have some kind of a cadence to keep the interest going.
And you can do the rhythm any way you wanted it.
Right.
Steps out and you can say something. Yeah. That seemed like it would be a fun thing to do.
Bob Uecker used to do a little bit about a baseball announcer. And he was talking about a guy who was a Chicago announcer from years ago that he always liked, because he would just talk about ball one is the count, and I got this little message here that the Russians have sent missiles, so that's a strike, a call, and he's interjecting major headlines in the middle of the play-by-play of a game, and just matter-of-factly, you know. And it was a funny routine. I think you can see that on YouTube if you look it up in Bob Uecker's Well, my gosh, how much stuff is on there right now?
Just dig, and you'll find yourself in a rabbit hole.
Yeah, for about 2 hours, laughing your tail off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, are you an early voter, or do you vote on election day?
I did vote last week.
I always feel bad because I like voting on election day. I just, and I understand the idea because something could come up. I mean, there's always something that could come up.
That's the reason why I did that, because, when I was doing, this workload like you're doing, where you're running all over the place.
Yeah, the station could go off the air.
My gosh, I got to do this. I got to do this. And the next thing you know, the whole day is blown by and you've not, put in your ballot. So when this came out, I just says this just makes sense to me. You vote absentee, but they're at either the village hall or city hall or whatever, and gets it done, and then it's like you can basically sit back and watch the show.
What's your sense right now? I have to admit that I kind of. And again, I understand it's easy from the outside to say, be above the fray. But Crawford's running as many garbage commercials as Schimmel is, to be honest with you. I mean, because, again, they're both saying, you're not going to keep us safe, when that is, again, nothing to do with the Supreme Court race. And obviously, it's been proven it works over the years.
That's the key.
And that's the sad aspect, actually.
It is a sad situation. In fact, to be honest with you, and my television viewing basically is not on local channels. I would say 90 to 95% of the things are off on the direct TVs, many, other channels, the local. And people say, well, geez, how come how do you stay up on the local events? I watch enough of it, and I also read enough of it that with the other type of sources that are available, that you can get to Wausau Pilot to, online, and you can, check that out. And that's the way I keep myself informed. But, so I know there's a lot of those commercials going, and I see them when I was watching the basketball, and it would be on Channel 7 here. And, of course, they have the local breaks in here. They have these ads, and I just kind of wrinkle my nose, and I go, well, that's just the nature of the beast right now.
I spend most of my time watching YouTube. I really don't watch a lot of TV anymore, but boy, they pound YouTube with those commercials too.
Yeah, they before you can even watch what you want to watch, they throw on a commercial.
Exactly. Sometimes you're lucky, you'll say after 5 seconds skip. Other times you're not so lucky, you'll have to go 60 seconds before you skip.
It depends how much they paid for that, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what's the most used button on your phone is skip.
Skip is right.
Just make it go away.
I got a text from Elon. I get $100. I got that yesterday.
You're getting $100.
I tell you, this guy is the biggest.
Oh, great.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick timeout, come back, talk to Brittany about the weather, and then more with Bob Look here in hour number one, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also catch us on YouTube, youtube.com. Go to the 98.9 WXCO channel on YouTube, and you can also share your thoughts. If there's something we are talking about, if there's something we're not talking about, we would love to hear from you. You can call us or text us at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to be part of the program. And again, you can also use your Civic Media app and be able to reach us that way as well. But as we look outside, again, another pretty start here in north central Wisconsin. Temperature of 21 degrees. Oh, by the way, we did get a text here. It's one of Brittany's biggest fans, Rob from Tigerton.
Oh, yeah.
And talking about something that Brittany was talking about in the last hour, about the cuts at the National Weather Service. Yeah. One of the things that are being cut. Rob sent us a text. I'm strong against those cuts at the National Weather Service. They should in the same area as emergency services with the military weather. Does play in the role any military I think I'm trying to Rob, I think you forgot a comma here. But I think I get what you're saying, right? Because of what Brittany was talking about earlier, says the weather does play a role in any military conflict. It's funny about Granny in the weather, but we need the night standards of emergency services. And exactly right. And Brittany Merlot with us again. Obviously, Brittany, you work for Civic Media as one of our weather folks, our meteorologists. How much does the National Weather Service actually impact your work here at Civic?
Oh, quite a bit, honestly. The National Weather Service, I mean, they're the ones who put out the tornado warnings, severe thunderstorm warnings. That's coming from the National Weather Service office. And they're also providing a lot of data, too. They're weather balloons that they send up at what used to be two times a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. That data, so basically the balloon goes up in the atmosphere way up high above the clouds. It expands. It's pretty cool. It actually expands to about as big as a truck. Massive. And it explodes up there and it comes back down and it's got a little parachute with a box on it. And then we go find that data. And it basically produces a fancy map for us meteorologists to dissect and use to forecast. So it's gathering data for everyone to do what they want with it. I mean, airports use it. Emergency services, like Rob said, uses it. Forecasters like myself use this data. And especially, and it's really, really important information for forecasting severe storms and tornadoes. I mean, it is the only thing that's going up there showing us exactly how our atmosphere is rotating, if we have enough energy and instability up high, and if we're going to be able to tap into that and then it get explosive storms. This is very, very important for not only us forecasting, but for the public. I mean, this is valuable information. So what the National Weather Service, the cuts that have happened here affecting us, are at the Green Bay station. They have eliminated the morning launch of the balloon. This is very, very important because that's the information that I am using to tell you when storms are going to explode around 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when they usually happen. So now we're going to be using old data from the day before, which what is that going to do for me? And then the balloon's going to go up at 7 p.m. every day. 7 p.m. That's not enough. They cut the 7 a.m.
It's lives are at stake. I mean, we've heard so many stories over the years where giving that warning to get somebody out of the line of a severe thunderstorm or a tornado has actually saved lives. And this is something I hope that folks push back against. And also, maybe some of the folks who actually make some of these decisions can take a step back at some point and say, hey, I understand the idea of trying to save a little money somewhere, but is it really worth X number of lives? Because frankly, as we go into this severe weather season very, very soon, there's going to be lives at stake.
But yes, there are. And it's just giving me the chills right now throughout my entire body. I mean, I got into this industry because a tornado came through my hometown. It was no warning, no heads up. And so this is like what's going to be happening. You know what I mean? It's just going to be, we've come so far in forecasting, giving you a 13-minute lead time of a tornado headed your way, and now I feel like that's going to go backwards. I mean, the staff cuts, we're going to be using other National Weather Service offices to help during outbreaks. I mean, they're not even used to the area. It's just going to be a world of mess, and I am worried for severe weather season ahead.
Well, let's talk about what the weather is like right now, because it's a very calm start again. A lot of sunshine, but that snow is still out there. We're still chilly, but it sounds like it's not going to stay sunny. In fact, it's going to get a little dreary as we get towards the weekend, isn't it?
It's going to get messy. So soak up the sunshine now. High temperatures today, we will climb to the upper 40s. It's going to be bright and beautiful, fantastic. Clouds will increase tonight. We do have a chance of some light drizzle possibly overnight. But then tomorrow, sunny again, beautiful, highs in the low 50s, because at this point, the snow is probably going to be gone. Be careful of your basements, too. I know that a lot of that water is puddling up and funneling into some places it shouldn't be. And then So after a beautiful day tomorrow, everything changes. I mean, we're looking at rain rolling in at night, could flip to freezing rain Thursday night into Friday morning. We've got thunderstorms in the forecast for Friday, rain as well. High temperatures Friday will hit the low 50s, but then we fall back below freezing at night. So some more freezing rain is possible Friday night into our Saturday morning. Then the rain ramps up on Saturday, wants to flip to more freezing rain and then snow on Sunday. And at the moment, the recent data really wants to put another snowstorm right here.
Oh,
but
geez.
We'll see. That could be all rain or it could be some heavy, wet accumulating snow. It's a little too far for me to exactly tell you what's going to happen, but keep an eye out. Sunday could be terrible.
I heard Rob on Pat's show yesterday mention that we've got more snow in the month of March than we did for the entire winter up to this point. We're getting more.
Oh, man. This month has been madness. March madness.
There you
go. True to its name.
Well, that was very smooth. I got to tell you. That was very smooth, Brittany.
Slip that in there. What a pro.
That's my shoulder off.
Hey, Brittany, thanks for the info. Have a great Wednesday. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
Bye, Brittany.
You too. Bye, guys. Yeah.
That's our Brittany Merlot, meteorologist, right now in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street at our WXCO studios. Fair skies, 21 degrees. East winds at just 3 miles per hour. The dew point is 16. Relative humidity of 81%. Barometer at 30.18 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Time for an information update. Has Donald signed any executive orders in the last 30 minutes? We're going to find out, plus all the news.
He doesn't
sports.
Get up until noon anyway, so right. Don't worry about it.
We'll come back with more with Bob Look coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, at YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel on YouTube. And again, don't forget, we'd love to hear from you. 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us as we are with Bob Look here for hour number one. Obviously, 6 days away, and you said it, you voted already. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting. I'm actually very curious to see if we have some sort of either record numbers or good numbers when it comes to voter turnout, because this election gets very, very, very poor turnout each and every time.
Oh, yeah. The spring primaries and that, it's kind of the, especially for the local, because you have school boards and village trustees, city council members, and things of that nature, which are more closely directed or involving us here in our own backyard. And it's the election that seems to be the one that, I'll show up to vote. You know, it doesn't have the big fanfare of the federal presidential or maybe U.S. Senate or governor type of race.
Well, there's actually one that is very interesting to me because I live in the village of Weston, and I drive past Patriot Auto every day to get home, and they for years and years and years have been basically poking the bear, me being the bear, with messages on the sign. And now the owner of Patriot Auto is running for the office against the incumbent Mark Maloney,
the village president there in Weston.
It's a very significant race. It's a very significant position in a area of our area that is growing at a very high level. And one of the big issues, and I was talking to you this off the air, is that the candidate, James Pinsonneau, the owner of Patriot Auto, has a message right there on the big sign talking about, you vote for me, nobody's going to make you buy a $15 million Village of Weston building again. And it just seems like it's so easy to in this day of politics, and maybe you obviously run for office and you talk to folks, it seems easier to be a negative and get people shaking their head than building something and saying that, hey, we need this. And also, in the end, we're going to save money. Because I said to you, I think the Village of Weston is growing and growing and growing. They need a building like that.
Well, they need to have so that you can provide the services that the people of your village or city expect from you. You know, how many times if you know, the garbage didn't get picked up that week and everyone's like, oh, up in arms, you know, I haven't seen a street sweeper, you know, for at least 2 days, you know, clean up all the junk out of the, you know, it's like, okay. I mean, there's reasons why, you know, you got to develop a budget and you have to observe the budget. And if you're over the budget, things get left out, and that's why those kind of things happen. You know, you can either move forward or you can stand still and let the whole world pass you by. And that's, you know, that's maybe kind of like, you know, a simple way of describing it. But, you know, I just feel that, you know, people, when you get to a certain age, they feel that, well, I got mine, the heck with the rest of the people.
and I've been looking, and obviously as a voter there, I've been looking at the positions of these candidates, and I've been especially looking at Mr. Pinsino, and when asked about what the biggest challenge facing the village right now is, and he said spending. And that is such a right-wing answer. It's always spending. And no matter what, we can never, ever, 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 ever think about altering taxes in a way that actually asks somebody to pay a little bit more.
Yeah, well, how about you trying to make your people in your village or city, you know, happy, and making them, you know, feel confident that you're doing things that, you know, are needed within the community. You're not gonna hit everyone's sweet spot where they all go, well, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I always enjoy people when they point to the education situations in the various communities and school board situation. Oh, they get all up in arms if, you know, this costs money or that costs money. And especially the ones who are raising their ire are the ones who don't have kids in the district. And okay, but you may have had, or, you know, in my case, I never had, you know, I never had kids of my own. And it's like, but I know how important it is that your education system be up to date, be on, at, you know, right at the top of what is, you know, important and how to prepare your youngsters for their lives as adults. And it's not going to happen by accident. There's some things you can learn without going into a school and having a teacher teach you it. But the problem is you're going to miss out on a whole lot of really important things that's going to make it very important for you in your later life that, oh, yeah, you know, when I was sitting there in high school, I'm saying, what the heck do I need to know this? Or, you know, why is this important to me? And all of a sudden, it's, you know, down the road, oh, yeah, I remember learning that back in grade school, high school, whatever. Education is what people need to move forward. Otherwise, if you stand pat, the world passes you by, and then you're even more ticked off.
Well, and the thing about it is when you see what's been done within the world of education by those on the right over the last number of decades, we cannot sustain this system without an educated electorate. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. It really is. We see right now so many folks, and I was talking to you again off the air about a segment I heard on Pat's show where he's talking to a couple of school board members in a rural part of the state and about the issues they're having, and yet so many of the people in these rural parts of the state vote in that way. They don't look at what's being delivered to their communities. It's just so easy right now to say, I'm going to vote for the guy that says no, or vote for the guy that stands next to me in terms of social values. I mean,
I'm not talking about education for you, for everyone to go on to college. No. If you have the opportunity and you have, first of all, the input and the grades to verify that. And there's also, you know, the way you can learn a trade, You don't have to go to college. There, education comes in different forms and models. The point being is that you never stop learning. You've heard that line, you never stop learning. And I'm sitting at age 70 and doggone it, I'm learning things all the time that, you know, just, you know, a couple of years ago, I go, I don't know. But you look into it, you learn how to learn. And that's a habit to get into, being inquisitive, questioning things, learning. Otherwise, if you stand still, everyone passes you up.
Do you think that a lot of people are saying that the state Supreme Court race is a proxy election? A vote of confidence for Donald Trump and Elon Musk based on what they've done. Do you think that's the case, or do you think people in Wisconsin are going to be able to look past that and realize, hey, there's a lot of different issues here in this state that have nothing to do with Trump and Musk, except the reason that Musk is here spending a lot of money towards one of the candidates?
Well, you're talking about the South African Nazi, right? Yeah. Or as the nickname or the nickname that I found one really amusing was Sissy SpaceX.
I heard that one, yes.
I goes, hey, that's pretty funny. You know, frankly, as far as that, it is a whole new animal, you know, that's something as in a back burner. But I'm telling you right now, you know, what is needed more than anything else is people who are fair. Fair does not seem to enter into it anymore. It's either that's my way or the no way type of a way of delivery. And I promised you a story about the candidate, Brad Schimmel. And this goes back a few years then, way back when he was the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin. And he was here in town, you know, at it was the Wausau Police Department's annual awards night, okay? So he was here. And this was not too far from the incident where I lost my wife back in 2017. And for some of you folks who don't know the situation, look it up. I'm not going to explain it to you. But here's the deal. You know, one of the officers introduces me to the, you know, Attorney General, Brad Schimmel. And, you know, Schimmel, you know, shakes my hand. I'm, you know, so really sorry, you know, that it happened. And, you know, usual. I accepted. I said, well, thank you for your thoughts. I says, you know, this might be a good idea to maybe take a closer look or a fresh look. It's something I think that we've just thrown it into the trash heap, saying it'll never work, and that is the red flag laws, where people who have been involved with like spousal abuse, that how they are not allowed to have firearms, nada. I says, well, now wouldn't. Don't you think this would be a perfect, you know, example of where this might have been a way that could have either slowed down or maybe made this go away? And he basically looked at me and said, well, we can't take away the right to bear arms. This is what he says to me, the right to bear arms. And I looked at him and I says, how about the right about the life of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Are you saying that owning a firearm is more important than being able to live your life with life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? And with that, he just, well, nice meeting you. The about face, and off he went. Did not even want to discuss it. I says, I'm all I was looking for is a discussion. Right. At least let's discuss the pros and cons of this, because I have a situation here that I think this could have applied to.
And something that I remember you talking about when you were running for the state senate. And I think for anybody that is either running for office or a person that's been elected to office, part of the job is to sometimes have those difficult conversations, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
There are times where things that is uncomfortable that I something I'm not really familiar with, where I don't have a dog in this race. But these are things that are concerning people.
Yes.
And it's, if you're a representative of the people, you should listen and also learn. I learned so much running for state senator that, you know, I would have never known, especially with the rural parts of the district, the farmers and agricultural interests and their things that they are day in and day out that were very important to them, keeping their business alive, keeping it, you know, that it does, was what we hope it does. And that's provide food and that for the people. And, you know, they brought things to me that it's like I didn't know anything about because that wasn't part of my background. And I thanked them. I says, this is why I need to talk to you people. I want you to know that this is going to be an open door. We're not going to, I'm not going to hide someplace. I says, I want to be here on a regular basis. And if I get elected, I want to have at least once every month or once every 2 months something in your backyard. I want to see you and meet you and let you know what's on your mind now. What are you running having problems with within the span of, you know, that I could maybe help you with. That's what I vision what the job entails.
And that's what, again, the system is based on. I mean, it's about, and I bet you, again, for most of us, if we get into the echo chamber, we're not going to learn anything new. We'll just be able to nod our heads a lot. Sometimes you may get something you disagree with that actually further supports what you believe in,
yep,
because you have to think about it and discuss it a little bit more. And other times you're going to say, hey, I'm thinking about this in a completely different way, and let me take a few steps back.
I want to hear their side of the story, because I'm sure we can figure out a way to both work together to come up with a solution.
And that's the thing, when you talk about like budget here in Wisconsin, there's all this, you know, this surplus. You can get together, and I may not be totally happy, you may not be totally happy, but doggone it, there's deals to be made to make people's lives a little bit better.
That's what you should be there for.
Exactly.
Well, that's my opinion.
Yep. Hey, we're going to keep fighting for that. There you go. 8:49 is the time. We're going to come back. Opening day is tomorrow. We'll talk about that coming up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And I saw that we had a call. Ian, did somebody want to come on the air, or did they just want to talk to you? A little while ago, like 9 minutes ago.
Actually, I didn't hear a phone call.
It said on the record that somebody had called, but I guess maybe they hung up right away. But if you're out there, we'd love to hear from you. 715-382-9297.
Because otherwise I might start singing, take me out to the ball game.
Yankee
take
Stadium.
Take me out to the crowd.
The big, big house in the Bronx. The house that Ruth built, the original. By the way, real fast, before we talk about this season, I miss when the Brewers were in the AL East.
That was some great baseball, because the American League East back then, I mean, the Baltimore Orioles, you know, Cal Ripken and all the gang, and of course the Yankees were loaded with Reggie Jackson. Dave Winfield was floating around with them.
Red Sox.
And the Red Sox, of course. I mean, man, you know.
And the Brewers won 93 and 95 games. In 78 and 79, and didn't sniff the playoffs.
Didn't even come close. It's, in fact, you know, my Brew Crew review, I kind of did the little run through looking to the start of this season. And, last year, you know, I predicted they'd be in the 90s.
And you were ahead of the curve, I'll tell you that much.
Way ahead of the curve. Everybody was, and I'm still ahead of the curve, what people, for the most part, have said. I'm saying 89 wins.
Wow. Why do you think they're going to be that good?
The basis of the team right now, I think they're a lot more offensively better this year coming up. Again, this is if everyone is healthy.
Right.
We don't have any major, you know, injury situations. The pitching coach is still there, who seems to make, you know, average pitchers a little better.
Maximize it.
And I just have a good feeling because they got some youngsters who played pretty good ball last year, you know, for Sal Frelick and Bryce Durang and Joey now moving from third to shortstop. The one thing that I'm don't be surprised if there is going to be some veteran third base player going to end up with the Brewer uniform before May gets here.
Really? Oh, keep an eye on that. But
Oliver Nunn.
You think Jackson Churio's going to continue to take that?
I think Jackson
keep Churio's. Going up on that because he was so good last year.
Again, it was just the half. The first half was kind of.
But by the time he was in that second half, he was.
Yeah,
he started getting it.
He started learning.
And I tell you, you got to give Arnold and the front office credit for locking him up.
Yeah.
Because there's a risk involved. I mean, as good as anybody thinks they are, there's still that risk involved. And boy, it was a win-win because obviously he got some security. The Brewers get a little security for a long time. But boy, he was such a good. I mean, I as a rookie, because sometimes, and you said early in the year there were, you know, some hiccups, but boy, he was fun to watch.
I have a friend I was chatting with yesterday, and they says, Christian Yelich, of course, was once an MVP, and then I said, could be again.
Yeah, I mean, when he's...
And the look that I got from the people were like, what are you, nuts? And I go, I'm just looking at watching his at-bats. And when he came back from the knee problem, the shattered kneecap, he was pulling off the ball and trying to pull the ball so he wouldn't hit on top of it to bounce another one off the knee. It took a while for him to, because once you have something like that, you flinch. It's human nature if you've had a major thing at one specific area.
Right.
But now I'm watching his swing and the speed of his swing at the at-bats I have been watching and looking how smooth he's and I'm like, this looks really good. This looks like when he first was with the team, you know, back when they, got, Lorenzo and everything. That I'm seriously thinking that if he stays healthy, oh, please stay healthy.
What about the division? What do you see? Because I got a big Cardinal fan coming in a few minutes. I got a because Sean's a big Cardinal fan, so I always talk to him about that.
Well, Cardinals, they're having a whole kind of change in way do things.
I don't think they know exactly what they want to do this year.
I think that they're going to kind of hover a bit. But I'm telling you right now, Cincinnati, the best thing it did was the addition to their manager.
Yeah.
Because Terry Francona, I think, is going to get a lot of good stuff out of his. And plus, the shortstop who has all-world ability. Ellie De La Cruz. He's a wonderful player. However, along with the wonderful, you have the, what the heck are you doing?
But isn't Francona a perfect guy to come in there?
Correct. Because he'll go, hey, Ellie, come here.
Going to make you a big leaguer this year.
And he will definitely help them. But also the Cubs, they got some name players and that, and I understand that how they're going to manufacture it as far as the pitching staff and the relief corps, which has always been their biggest Achilles heel. That's the one. Pittsburgh, again, young pitchers, but young players. And
there's such a negativity around their owner.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't like him there. He's a billionaire. It doesn't really add a lot to what they do.
And I think that there's a lot of burning in the Brewers players that Bob Uecker's not there.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a let's win this one for you type of thing.
So they're
going to
win the division.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to win tomorrow.
That's one game.
But do you want to get out to a good
start? Well, yeah. As far as, with Freddie.
You going to watch Joe Buck and Bill Schroeder together on ESPN?
Yeah, well, why not? But Freddie Peralta, he's got to get through five innings, and he also has to get through the first inning.
Thanks, Bob.
Take care.
We'll come back with Sean Wright in the next hour.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.